to say, yes, sir. And then the Bible goes on to say, hey, if you are obedient, you are calling the Bible, Alaba Shake Bredo Sokodo. Hey! Hallelujah! Ah, no, let's do this thing. Give me 1 Peter chapter 3. I feel the anointing to teach this thing.
If the light goes on, it's not enough. It's not enough for the light to go on. The Bible says the light shines. It shines. No, my light will not just go on. No, my light will not just go on. It's not enough that you cleared. You have to be excellent. Your light, no. It's not enough that you feel before. And he has put all things under his sight, at arm's length. Where has he put them? Somebody shout, it's under my feet.
Thank you so much. Please take your seats. We have a situation in this church, and I would like to address it. Let me address that one very quickly. Before I address the idea of the man and whether it is right for a woman to have an expectation, let me address the issue of what the woman is bringing on board. It's not the devil, please. Give me Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. There are two things which are found in the same place. And that scripture can be read backward as well, because it means the same thing. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So those two are found in the same place. So, your heart follows the direction of your treasure. But your treasure will also only be where your heart is. Your treasure. Not another person's treasure, not any other treasure. If that lady there is my treasure, my heart will go there. And my heart includes my life, my wealth. If that girl has my heart, which is my life, then my treasure will go there, because I want my life to be proper, my heart to be okay. So what a woman brings to the table is herself. She is the treasure. And your heart and all your treasures go there. She is your heart. Your treasure goes there. She is your treasure and your heart goes there. So what she is bringing to the table is herself. And all the ladies said, yeah. No, and I know, I know, men don't like this. But I have been there where, and you know, families know how to do this very professionally. They will wait until you are in love. Then they will charge you 30 pin of water. You will pay. Because that's where you're. What is she bringing to the table for you to pay that bill? You. Herself. Kuchi mundi na ufule gota wependa. A person will be upset, but they will count money until they pay. They will be upset. They will be angry at their relatives, but they will pay. They may even beg, please tell them not to overcharge me. They will go, the family will overcharge. They will be upset, but they will pay. Because where your treasure is, your heart, and where your heart is. So when she was going towards Ephesians 5, 21, 26, 25, I knew she was close because she began mentioning Christ. And then she just now joined you. Look at Ephesians 5. Give me 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. What did she bring to the table? Sins? Faults? No, let's be honest. What did she bring to the table so that she qualifies for the value of Jesus? At least you are even saying you need to have this. Even if those butter tokens which have holes, which ladies used to wear, those. You didn't even have those, you. At least she was even at least well behaved. But what she brought to the table, Christ died for us and loved us while we were. So what did she bring to the table? No, the girls you are saying they must bring something to the table. You are not mirroring the love of Christ. Because the Bible is saying, husbands, love your wives. What is your standard? No, what's your standard? Let's have a conversation. I know you want her to bring things to the table, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind according to the word of God. I don't know what you've been taught, but that's what the word of God teaches. So if you have any other philosophy, that's fine. But if you want to follow the word, the word. So as a woman who knows the word of God, you are the gift. He must spend. In fact, the Bible says, a man shall leave his father and mother. Even if you are the one who's practically living, spiritually, he's the one who will leave, come and spend on you. Look at it like this. Why do men do what they do? They pay, they pay, they pay, they pay. Why not just use that money for himself, on himself, with himself, by himself, of himself, on himself, through himself, with himself? Why? They have a burden which God has given them to spend on her. It's not even that they are looking for sex. Some of you may think that. No. There are few men who are so damaged upstairs. But even them, you find there are women they play with, but they have one they want to spend on property, they want to pay Lovola. Why? Because they still have a burden. It's divine. It's not that the woman has, she doesn't want the same sex. No. But the burden is on the man to do it. To pay. Because someone will be thinking, no, the women just do it for sex. They will fight. If that was the case. But why is it that people who are married or who have a respected person, we still have women they are playing, but they will spend on this one, properly move her into a house. It's because there's that divine responsibility that God put on a man to spend on a woman. And the woman is the gift. So all of you women, your middle name is Whoopi. What are you bringing to the table? The favor. One more time. And all the women said, brothers, this is the word. A woman was designed to be very well taken care of. A woman was designed to be a professional housewife if she wants. A woman was designed to have the job to eat your money. Brothers and sisters, this is the word. This is not even my opinion. This is the word. I can give you some of my opinions, but I don't want to contradict the word. I know you're waiting for the balance, but there's no balance. You're waiting for an however or a however, but could it be however? Can women? Yes. Should women work? Yes. But it should really be optional for them if they are married. If you're not yet married, work. And even if you are married, work. It's fine. But I'm telling you that it's not a sin. But according to the word of God, a man should not have an expectation that she will also bring something to the table. You are unscriptural. What if she makes more money than you and she's selfish? God will deal with her. And I'm not saying women must be selfish. And women on a normal day are not selfish people. I mean, when my wife was working, there were times she brought her salary to me and said, what should we do? I remember, I said, you. What are you trying to say about me? Meanwhile, I wanted the money, but there was just something in me that said, as if there is any money there. But you know, that time, 2018, 2017, like 5,000 was not that bad, if you ask me secretly. I don't know what you've been taught. Maybe where you grew up, you work harder than your father because your father was not doing. That's an error. Should your mother work hard? That's great. But you see, there is what is called the permissive will of God and the perfect will of God. In the perfect will of God, the man must provide. In the permissive will of God, the woman has to survive because the man is absent. Amen. I'm not trying to encourage laziness. I'm encouraging the word. A lot of things go wrong. That's why we encourage women to work hard. Also, economic situations these days, you find you're making, maybe you can make more than your husband. The house has more money. That's fine. So I do encourage you to work, but you must never feel obligated if you are in a marriage that you must work, especially when your husband is able to provide, unless you just want to add something to the table. To the proverbial table. Amen. Should girlfriend have an expectation? Let me fix this issue. Should the girlfriend have an expectation that manthen zizangena? I don't know why. I need to be careful. This is a sensitive operation. It's a very sensitive operation. It's like pediatric neurology. So we have a very special problem. Because the Bible does not teach us how to date as boyfriend and girlfriend. I need to be very honest. The only thing the Bible does is that it points to husband and wife. But if the Bible does that, then it was thinking about something. It says, what I'm showing you is enough for the boyfriend and girlfriend to look up to. A man who is dating a girl who is under another man's roof does not have a responsibility to provide for the girl. We do our Eka and all the men. Or maybe we wait for the however. There is no subsisting responsibility. For a man who is dating to provide for a woman under another roof. That disqualifies the expectation. In a dating environment. And all the men said, yeah. I hope you are looking at your boyfriend as a scream. That's amen. And it's just awkward if a woman asks for things. It's just so awkward. How are you going to do it? Okay, maybe there's nothing wrong with asking because you are friends. So you can let your friend know about your needs. I think the problem comes in when now it's a monthly ask out. Or even just twice, thrice. Even if he tells you, no, just let me know if you need anything. I don't know how you feel because the Bible says she clothes herself with dignity. Also pretend some as a woman. Insoni, wound too. Feeling shy. There's a proverb that being shy amounts to being human. You even go with your friends on a date. He has told you, let's have a date. I know you want to be holy, but it's not like you are having the date somewhere in a secret place. He's asked for a date at Cremosa for crying out loud. Why are you going with your village people, your squad? It's already in public. No warning, no notice. Muka samfia po fia mbalim restaurant. It's different if there's like a private place he wants you to meet. Then you say, no, for the sake of purity, you bring your squad. So that you teach him something as well. But if it's in a public place where you are going to have... Why call the shareholders? You go, all of you. Sorry, they are shareholders. I didn't know. That's just awkward. Why are you awkward? There's no subsisting responsibility. There is duty. You know, the funny thing about this thing is that there's duty and responsibility, but then there is nature and expectation. So we also have another problem here, because in the realm of duty and responsibility, a man does not have a responsibility over a woman who's not under his roof, and that disqualifies the expectation. But by nature, where your treasure is, your heart will also be. It doesn't have to be monthly. It doesn't have to be monthly. I used to send my girlfriend 30 kwacha airtime every month. By third, fourth year when we're dating, she would just expect, and sometimes weekly. It's what I could afford. She was not under my roof. These days, it's my duty. You know when it's your duty? Like when you have a child, she comes to you and says, Daddy, you need to pay my school fees because it's time. That's a duty. These days, I just find 100. She knows the password. 100 kwacha. Only I need to get a band. Oh. Yeah, because how do you expect her to ask for my father when she's in my house? And if you learn to give your girlfriends things now, your heart will not open. When you start doing things out of even responsibility to feel like a punishment because you've been stingy. You are a stingy man. And sometimes it's not that she's not in your house. You are just stingy. That's just the problem you have. You are just stingy. Uri mutani. That's the main problem. Let's just be honest. Let's not say no. The word. No. You are just... You put the why in the stage. Because everyone wonders why. Especially if the woman works. All the more reason why you need to prove yourself a bit more. Because now, I know she's not asking things from you. But it's been 6 months since you went on a date. And she said yes to you. You've never even said, oh, babe, I've sent you a 25 kwacha, buy some airtime. Nothing. Every time you're just believing God for a project to pull through. No. This is why. Listen, relationships is not for children. Is it bad to do plastic surgery? There is a place where plastic surgery is an important thing that must be done on someone. I'm sure you've met those kids who maybe, what do you call it? There's a medical condition, maybe. Huh? Maybe they had a cleft palate or something. Plastic surgery. Then now there are those. You know the ones I'm talking about. You have a question? Where do you get these questions? I don't know. I'll need to think about it. I don't have all the answers. But God does. Even Paul sometimes would say, this thing, me, is not God telling you, it's me. Maybe in very few instances, someone can give themselves up for that, but I don't know what is going to happen to that person. I'll give an example. Maybe the woman is not able to, but they really want a child. They can produce eggs, but their womb can't keep a child. I think it's okay, but my issue, my caveat is, what happens to the woman who carries that child for 9 months? And that's where there's an ethical issue. So we can say it's professional, you're just doing it for the sake of the money, you're going to get paid, fine. But what happens to emotionally after you do that for 3 children or even 1? So in the Old Testament, there was some kind of surrogacy because the maids, like there was a point where Jacob's wife could not have children. She got her maid and gave to Jacob. And Jacob had a child with that maid, but that child was considered the child of the wife. But what the Bible doesn't show us is whether the Bible agrees. It was a culture that they used to practice. And the only reason I think it was accepted to be the child was not because it was the child of the mother, but the child of the man. And since there was a marriage between the man and the initial wife, they were still considered children of Jacob. But whether they are children of the women, that's a debate I would love to start in heaven. Should it happen? Not as a commercial thing. I don't think it should be commercialized. Because it begins to produce these women and these children who at some point will have endless questions. Imagine telling your child when that child is 21 that I'm not the one who carried you. It was that one. For some children, there is an emotional, psychological thing that's going through. So there's a problem. But maybe someone would say, oh, two mothers, that's nice. So it's a confused area. So the answer is, I don't know. But here's a gray area. I think in some circumstances, it can be accepted, can be done. But I don't know the psychological trauma it's going to put on the person who's doing it. They will tell you they are doing it professionally. It's a lie. Women are not like that. Even children who grow up, they are never like that. They will ask, so where is that woman? Take me to her. You will want to see her. Just so that you see her. I don't know if it will heal you. You have closure for what damage? So, those questions. So, I'm leaning more towards the no than the yes. Must you have children at any cost? No. You are not married any less when you have children than when you don't. The marriage is separate from the children. It's a blessing to have children in marriage, and you should. But if you don't have children, don't go and sleep outside to see, because you didn't marry so that you have children. If you married so that you have children, you misinterpreted the purpose of the marriage you got into. Listen, there was a time when Hannah wanted children, and she said to her husband, Elkanah, give me children or I die, or something like that. Then he says to her, am I not worth more than 10 sons? And this is the error that happens in many marriages. In many marriages, the focus shifts from the spouse to the children. That's wrong. Now, without neglecting the children, you are not one with your child. The Bible says you become one with your spouse. And when that oneness with your spouse is enhanced, your relationship with your children becomes a mere fruit of your union and your oneness with your spouse. But people are willing to do anything for their children, but nothing for their spouse. Because you think you had that child by yourself. You don't think that that child is also a responsibility of your partners, no matter what happened between the two. The marriage was designed to bring companionship and mutual. You see, even God said, it's not good for man to be alone. Therefore, I will make him many children. A mango tree is not any less when it has fruits as when it doesn't. It's still a mango tree. It's a marriage even when there are no children. So now don't insist that you must have children. Then why didn't you just have children anyhow? Why? And don't. But why are you? It's not good for man to be alone. So if you are the two of you, you are still married. You are still married. I know tradition has taught people things, but what I'm teaching, this is the word, brothers and sisters. What I'm teaching you is the word. You don't think you need to go out and check if it works. The marriage by going out to have children outside because you don't have children in your own house. Then you don't know why you got into the marriage. You should have told her that to have, to hold, and to have children. But you ended on to have and to hold. With or without children, it's a marriage. You will stay there or be there to make sure. No matter what you are hearing, you are still married. You are not any less married than those with children. We even have many pressures because there are many children they have to take care of. May God bless you with children, but that's what marriage is about. So what I'm saying is, in the name of wanting many children, don't begin creating future traumas by surrogacy. And you know, there are many celebrities and people who do it because they just don't want to give birth. Who do you think you are? Oh, I thought that was in my heart. I didn't realize it came out. Go ahead and have children of your own. Don't create issues. I was watching this documentary where this girl had been, when she was 24 years old or somewhere thereabout, her mother then said to, because the question is, where's my father? Where's my father? Where's my father? The mother was not revealing. Either the child will insist, where's my father? Or, where's my mother? Or, it will eat you one day, you just want to share, then you will create an issue. So the woman said, I don't know who your father is, but here's what I did. I didn't want to marry, but I wanted to have children. So I went to a sperm bank and I looked at the qualities I was looking for in a child, and they matched me with the man that had those qualities. And they did that fissure insemination that I gave birth to. She says, okay, let's go into the archives so that we may check who that man is. I would just like to look at him. And I think, wouldn't you want to do that if you're in those shoes? God forbid. So, and this is a true story. They went there. When they reached, the doctor went into the file. The same doctor is the one they found. Yes, because it was a private hospital. They go there, they check. When the doctor now remembers the case, that case had a number of trials, but the fertilization was not happening. So the doctor used his own. The doctor now used his own. And he now had to begin confessing. And it was just, It was just awkward. You know what I'm saying? How do you explain yourself? When do you explain yourself? Where? With what words? Anyways, the point I make is, then like, there's an extent to which this plastic surgery thing is okay. But there's just an extent to which, no. Problem is, people trust plastic surgeons a lot. The way you are, you are just fine. The way the head doesn't have hair. There are just some things, just leave them. Just leave them. The way your lips are, they are just fine. They say though they want them to be more sexy. You know, everything is about sex these days. A car is sexy. Food. And it's always just, you never find married people doing that. It's always just single people who like to do that in that area. Yes. Because you want to kiss anything you find. So anything that looks at you must behold sex. Are you a human being or a sex object? No, you asked a question, let me address it. So you should measure the questions you ask if you know the answer I'm likely to give. You are not. By the way, I noticed that it's normally single people who scars with strange posts. Married people are focused. I will tell you why one day. But my uncle is here, so he needs to go give a good report. Amen. So, listen. There's an extent to which it's okay, but that just some things are just wrong. If you want a six-pack, just do press-ups. You'll be fine. Not they start pumping your fat inside. Your friends are trying to lose you.
Yes, the great days are given. Glory to God.
How would one tell if the relationship is truly ordained and accepted by God? So there are two kinds of relationships that are ordained and accepted by God. The first one is the one where God says to you, that's the one. God can lead you to your wife or your husband. And in most cases, when God tells you that's the one, you will not even have feelings for him. Because feelings are not imparted, they are developed. You don't get an impartation of feelings. But when you obey God and you begin conversing with that person, they come naturally. But that's rare. God rarely tells people that's your husband. The Spirit of God will guide you very suggestively. Then there's one where you find. So the one where you find, you are free to choose among all these women you are seeing here, as long as they are not taken. As long as they accept you. Small men. As long as they accept you, and as long as they also fit into what you're looking for. That takes a lot of research, conversation. So there's a book I titled Finding and Being Found. I discussed that topic in depth. So you can look at it. How do I stop backsliding as a Christian? This is a very good question. I was having a training with the deacons and I began to teach them Ephesians 5. And Ephesians 5 says, do not be drunk with wine wherein is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, Why are you being taught to be filled with the Spirit? I thought you already received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is because the infilling, being filled with the Spirit, is an ongoing experience which you provoke. And then it says, talking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. It's trying to show you how to constantly be filled with the Spirit. It means there are things that you can do so that you can be filled with the Spirit of God. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. Dissipation is like wasting. But be filled with the Spirit. How? Speaking to one another in psalms. How do you speak with one to one another in psalms? Do you come to your friend and say, when he's just waking up, "Blessed is the man"? I need to do that to my wife one day. I'll catch him, girls. "Blessed is the man who walks not according to the counsel of the wicked, but his delight is in the law of God." I hope that will work. There's that guy in the memes who the wife is sleeping. Then he screams, "Jesus!" Have you seen him? I don't agree with him. I don't agree. Your friend is sleeping. Why do you want to offend them with good things? I don't pray where my wife wants to sleep. I go somewhere and I pray. Even the Bible says Jesus isolated himself. So I know you want her to see you as a prayerful man. But no. Go to your secret place. Don't be like the hypocrites who pray so that people can hear them. Go to a secret place. So being filled with the Spirit says, speaking to one another in psalms. I'll give you an example. You are in a room with your friend, and then you start singing a song, "Don't Fall." Then your friend comes in another key, "Oh, Quenda." Then you say, just sing your own song. Have you ever done that before? You are cutting the flow of the Spirit when you do that. Don't do that. Also, just when the Bible says sing to you in your with your heart, it's not saying sing in their heart. So you tell people, "Hey, the Bible says sing with your heart." It means let it come from, but it needs to come out. Don't sing in your heart. Sing with your heart. There's a difference. You see, even people who you can tell, people who are happy, there's a way they talk. There are things that make them happy. They make themselves happy. Sometimes they overlaugh to something they shouldn't overlaugh to. Okay, why are you not overlaughing you? What are you going through? It's okay. You just laugh. Sometimes you overlaugh not because it's too funny, but you want to be self-happy. And you know the way laughter is. You can actually make yourself laugh. You can create it. Learn to make yourself laugh. This generation is sad. Generation Vibes and Generation Z is going through a lot. You find kids saying, "No, you know, I'm just feeling a little depressed." 15-year-olds undergoing real-time depression. Back in the day, you know, when I was depressed in 2016, I didn't know I was depressed. I didn't know. But then I realized after 1 week, I said, "You're cheating, is it? What's this?" Now, these days, these kids, they even know. They're just sad, they're alone, they're in a room alone. Everyone is watching TV, generally, people spare. What are you doing there? Be because somebody said something stupid about them in class, and they begin feeling maybe that's the kind of person I am. I'm very hard to intimidate ever since I was a child. I had never met a guy who was so confident in his looks like me. She knows. Sometimes she would tell me, but why don't you change that? I say, I'm good. I am so conscious that I'm handsome. So if someone says that, you are like this, I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for them. Because you know, there are people who tell themselves they lie so much that they believe it. I told myself the truth so much that I believed it. The opposite is true. You can't call Abraham Abram when God changed his name, even without the fruit of the Abraham. He had no children, but he stopped Ephraim from calling him Abram. Because Abram means exalted father, but Abraham means a father of a multitude. So when God named him Abraham, from the time he named him Abraham, to the time he had a child, it was 25 years. But he would never think he doesn't have children. Never. So when people come to him and say, you have no children, he would say, all these people I'm feeding in my house, what do you think they are? You couldn't convince me that I had failed. I'm the head and not the tail. Yes, the lecturer said I had failed, but the Bible also says. And then people will tell me, be real. I'm saying, which one is reality? There's this. Listen, I'm teaching you reality. When it comes to your peace of mind, you need to distinguish realities between what's happening on the ground and what the truth of the word of God says and what is going to help your mental state. Because variety, if ngawaf kongerida mo, ukiridida nempang. There, they caught a mad person. And they put him in the psychiatry. And they said, no. He said, he woke up one morning, he said, no, I'm not crazy. No, I'm okay. They said, okay, let's go. They carried him together with the rest of the people. Then they put a heap of sand. Then they told them, start swimming. They were throwing themselves. Then him, he was sitting back saying, So the doctor said, okay, let's ask him, you, why are you not swimming? Then he said, no, me, I don't swim cold water. Here's the point I'm making. Who told you that to him that's not the reality? To him it's cold water because he's seeing cold water. What are you seeing? Is as a result of what's happening in your mind. And that is a reality. It could be inferior or superior, but it's a reality nonetheless. When you are using faith, it's a reality as well. Just the way a psychological problem is a reality. And it's inferior to the physical reality. There's a reality called faith. Being different from the physical reality on the ground does not mean that you are out of touch with reality. It just means you are out of touch with that reality, but you are in touch with another. The only question is, the reality you are in touch with, is it superior? If God calls things that are not as though they are, and then where you are, there is not, which reality are you living in? The one or the one of God's? That's what's going to determine even the peace of mind you are going through, or what's going to happen after 1 month. So the reality is that the bones were dry. But the question is, Ezekiel, which reality are you living in? The one for the dryness or the one where these bones lived? The one where the bones are living is out of touch with the one where the bones are, because right now they're dry. It's actually impossible, literally impossible, practically possible, but spiritually possible. Bring those bones to life. This is why faith is a whole reality that God invites to live in. Otherwise, you'll be sad because the results are out, you have failed the course. You read the Bible, it says you are the head and not the tail. It's not matching. It's a fight, brother. It's a fight, sister. It's a fight. And it's called the fight of faith. The fight of faith is a clash of realities. It's a clash of realities. What do you believe and where do you base your belief in? Some of you base your belief in how you believed last year and it didn't work, so now you are shaken. But being shaken does not bring food to the table, the same table, the proverbial table. You have to push again. Okay, why are you pushing when you tried last year and it failed? Some of you, instead of being driven by faith, you are driven by hunger. At least have something to drive you. But why not be driven by faith? Because faith anchors on God's integrity and the truthfulness of His word. So there is a guarantee of manifestation in that regard. Hey, are you listening to me? So why people backslide? Number one, they don't have someone to help them. One of the reasons why you don't have friends who are Christians is because you think they are boring. But the issue is not that they are boring. The issue is that you are worldly. So there are just certain places you want to be, because there are certain things that you can't do when you are with the brother bros and the sister sis. Because when you are in that environment, there are things you won't do. You are like, ah, chala mbwena machinga nambok tukana, chama wan. So it's better you are always with people who mwenamo you. Environment, that's the reason. You are not in an environment, even discipleship classes. And you see, discipleship classes are not forced. It's not like I'm always telling you, come, you're my disciple. Ha ha ha. No. There are classes that you are with very cool people. You discuss the word of God. You learn something. You meet them the next day. You learn something from the word of God. You send your reviews. You explain what you learned. It helps you grow spiritually. There's a spiritual environment you are constantly creating. So even when it comes to being filled with the Spirit, it's an ongoing experience. So the Bible says, and Paul, being filled with the Spirit, cursed the guy who was preventing the proconsul from receiving the gospel. He said, "You son of the devil, you are an enemy of righteousness," and blindness came upon him. Wasn't Paul initially filled with the Spirit? But the Bible says, Paul, being filled with the Spirit, meaning there are moments of inspiration. And that moment of inspiration was created by an environment of being provoked to anger. So sometimes maybe you may need to be in an environment where you're provoked to praise. And sometimes you need to be in an environment where when you start a song and your friend joins, even if they are fortunate, they just sing together. Because when you do that, there is a bond of the Spirit that you create, because you're baptized into the same body by one Spirit. So there is an iron sharpens iron that's happening there. Even just going out to have fun with fellow believers. I know you want to have fun. They are not that boring. I don't know. It's like these women who say that they can't date a believing brother because they are boring. The issue is not that, again I repeat, the issue is that you are carnal. You want someone who will touch you. That's the real issue. Someone you can go somewhere in the dark. That's what you're looking for. You're not looking for someone who say, let's pray. And I'm not saying you should always pray together, but once in a while. Even with my wife, once in a while. I think about once when we were dating. There was a time, I don't know if you remember, there was a time when she says, no, we need to pray together, we need to pray together. So I said, okay. I used to run away. Then we started praying together. that night. We prayed together. 1 hour. 2 hours. Then she said, no, I have to go. I said, no, let's pray. You want to pray with me? Let's do this thing. But at least somehow, she still had a prayer experience with me. So, your environment matters. What you do. There are just certain movies. You are beginning to watch a movie. They say, okay, no, let's see what happens next. Again. It's just color blue the whole way. I just stop. I don't know if they still call them that name these days. Okarikutamba. After all, it's not like I'm the one who's doing it. You. You're a fool. They look like. If you don't watch it, you will not die. Say, no, I want to see what's happening in the world. It doesn't mean become the world now. Suppose you know it's the wisdom of the serpent, you're now becoming the serpent. God wants to heal everybody that has not been okay emotionally today. There's a grace in God to fix. Because there are certain places that if you keep going back to in your life, you will not have the energy to move to the next place. In this, I'll tell you this. Some of it's just this documentary which came out, which has scarred you. How many know the documentary? Raise your hand, the one I'm talking about. How many don't know the documentary? How many, nothing? Because there are some of you. How many know the documentary I'm talking about by BBC? I'll say this again. The purpose of that documentary, from my perception, is to destroy your faith in men of God. Because if he can actually do that, what does it mean for all the others who looked up to him? They are the same. Sort of like what happens when someone's heart is broken. They don't lose faith in that person. They say, me love, never again. So the idea is not to lose, for you to lose faith in that man. The idea is for you to lose faith in all men, whether used by God or anyone who just comes as a man. You'll just be remembering that. Some of you, let me see, you want to watch. Just leave it. So you find, from then you can't move on. Even when, like, there was one girl, her mother went to her and started saying, hey, you see now, that documentary has come out. This papa you like following. So now, it's not that man, it's me. I'm under attack. I'm the papa now. If I even wore a red suit today, I have a shiny red suit. And I'll start wearing it again, so not ones, no. I have one with a white four-cornered shoe and a green hanky. One day I'll just be tired of pretending. And when my wife is getting ready, I'll just sneak into the suit. What for me? Awe, I'm going to serve the Lord. She'll just be shocked I'm dressed up here. You know, something happened this week. Last week. My Facebook account was hacked. So I don't have a page. I had a serious moment of thought. Even when I shared with some of you, you just moved on like nothing happened. So I began to go back to my page. And I just wanted to imagine. You see, even people just moved on, people are still posting. How could, you know, politics went on like any other people. One or two people felt bad. I began to imagine, what if this was all I had done on earth? People move on just like that. I'm not saying we should follow you to the coffin or to heaven where you've been taken up. But it's just how life is. People just move on. And then I decided, let me go and look at the work I have done. And my page represented most of my life. So I began to check what I was posting, what I was doing. Some things I posted I didn't mean to post, some things I said I meant to say. I felt like a mini judgment. And guess what? People just moved on with their lives, their pages. The way people just move on. And that's not where the problem is. The problem is, you, your page, it's gone now. Now let's review what it has done. I was like 30% happy with what I did. But I began to feel like I could do more for God. I began to think, I think some of you don't think like this. But the Spirit of God began to bring it to my attention that look, if you're going to live on this earth for 100 years, then you're going to live in the next life for eternity. There's more work in the life to come than the one you live in. I know some of you think that when you go to heaven, all you'll be doing is living in a white mansion and eating heavenly grapes. And jumping on heavenly jumping souls. And jumping into swimming pools of gold and aluminium. When the master came back, he said to the servant who was able to turn 5 talents. In fact, not the one for talents. There's one for talents and there's the other one for, what do you call it? Mina. The one was able to turn 5 into 10. What was said of him is, faithful in these 5 in 10, I will make you in charge over cities. He's trying to tell us that there will be some governings that will happen in the life to come. There will be some work that will happen in the life to come. And what we are doing in this life is just building capacity. I am convinced that when we go up there, there are still some things we'll be doing. But what qualifies us for the ranking we'll receive is a capacity we had built when we'll be here. Because if you live here for 100 years, then they are going to live there for 10,000 years and on. This is a training ground. So what you have done, if God was to take you into another civilization, into another, not Milky Way, into another constellation, where there is commerce and activity and politics, and you say, what you are qualifying for, the position you have, is as a result of how you saved me where I was. Are you going to be happy with the position you are going to? So in this moment, I want you to just take a prayer point and say, Lord, I'm going to do more as you supply grace. Lord, I make a decision to do more. I made a decision I was going to do more. Lord, as long as you supply the grace, I make a decision to do more.